Well, I've got good news and bad news. So what do you want first? The bad news is that we had targeted a couple of Sunday nights in July to take off to give you some rest from busy schedule, ARC, Vacation Bible School. The bad news is we're not going to be able to take those Sundays off. The good news is that the week after ARC, Brother Larry Booker is going to be here Sunday morning and Sunday night. That you've already had the announcement on that. The following two Sundays, Brother Cody Marks is going to be with us. The first week he's here, he would be here on Wednesday night, but it's Vacation Bible School. I asked him today how he would look in a zebra suit. So, I don't know how that's going to work out. But the following Sunday and Wednesday, he'll be in service with us. And then the week of Ignite, Brother Nathaniel Urshan's going to be here Sunday morning. We've got a month of just really dynamic revival service coming up. And Sister Linda's going to be making flyers for us. Mariah, did you get all that? We can cover it after if you like. But it's going to be a dynamic month of revival. Those three gentlemen are just extraordinary with the Word of God, and you're going to be absolutely blessed. But I'd like for us to fill the house full of empty vessels. And if you've ever brought anybody to the house of God, you want to bring them for that month of services. And everybody say, praise the Lord. There'll be time for resting when we die. Okay. Something's wrong with that. No, I know what's wrong with that is God's going to put you to work on the other side. Because God believes in work. That's right. And even all respect to Martin Luther, faith without works is dead. Let's read this evening in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin with verse 1. We kind of took the middle out of this chapter. And I want to go back and catch a couple of things here at the beginning and then in the body of the chapter. And it's Wednesday night, and this is not going to be nearly as negative as the first three verses sound. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. When Paul uses the word carnal, he's talking about somebody that has reverted back to their natural man, reverted back to dominance by the flesh. And when Paul uses that language, when he's talking about the natural man, he's talking about you before you met God. When he's talking about the carnal man, he's talking about you after you've met God and you've backslidden. You're still there, but you're just cold in your heart. So that's just clarifying terms here. He said, I had to speak to you as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You're not growing. You're still on the bottle. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Let's, as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks and bless him for his word. Thank him for his word forever settled in the heavens. Mighty God, we love your ways. We give you praise and thanks and we magnify you. We thank you for your word that is forever settled. Bless you and praise you and lift you. Praise God. So in this first part of this third chapter, Paul tells these they are relatively new here at Corinth. The church has been in existence for about 4 years. And Paul started the church, and he's writing this letter some 3 or 4 years after the beginning of the church. So they've been there for a while, but he's laying into them, and he's saying, you've got so much foolishness in this body that you are carnal. He said, when you're not carnal, you don't have that kind of problem. When you're spiritual, you love everybody. When you're carnal, you're fussing and fighting. When you're spiritual, there's unity and there's harmony in the body. And when there's all kinds of strife and cat fights and trouble, that's you're having that because you're not praying. You're having that because you're not wired to the Spirit of God. You're not plugged into what God's doing. And so he's correcting them here, and he's saying you need to be eating meat, but you're still on the bottle. You're still having to be fed milk. Now, this is not a place where you want to live. You don't want to live in a place where your pastor can't tell you hard things about the Word of God, about the kingdom's work, and about yourself. You don't want to live in a spiritual existence where you get touchy and offended about everything that is said to you that is corrective or instructive or something that's going to help you live for God. And it's a very bad sign when people have to walk on eggshells around you because you're so fragile and you're so brittle. And the whole world, the problem is the world revolves around you. And you haven't gotten out of that toddler stage yet. And you're just like a little toddler that barely can walk and screams like a wounded Indian every time something happens to its toy or to its plan or to what it's trying to accomplish. And that's not a good place for you to live. You've got to grow beyond that is what Paul is trying to tell this church at Corinth. I want to feed you meat, and I want you to have the kind of experience where you don't walk in the house of God with all sorts of conflict and friction going on, but you walk in into a wave of unity and harmony and the blessing of God on every heart and on every tongue and the people of God loving one another. Now that's what he's saying in the first part of this third chapter. Now on down, excuse me, to verse 10. And we made a foray into this area when we were talking in Romans about the foundation of God. And so we won't recreate the discussion of the foundation of God here. But rather, we will we'll talk about what you build on the foundation of God. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Be careful how you build on the foundation that God has given you. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation. And so if you're going to build it all in the kingdom of God, now you can build anything you want, but if you build something that's not on that foundation, it's not the church and you don't belong to God. That's just brutal and that's straightforward, but that's the biblical how it is. Verse 11, no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or stubble, and Paul is teaching us there that you can do anything you want with the foundation God has given you. You can build something that's going to turn out to be golden. You can build something that turns out to be silver or precious stones. Or you could build something that's going to be wood or hay or stubble. And if that is the outcome of your work, your life, if you would, your ministry, whatever you've done with the kingdom of God, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And this is a much discussed passage. It just simply means you can while away your time, spend your time idly and without production. You can build just nonsense with your life, spend your time just just floating through, just never realizing your potential in the kingdom of God. You can do all that, but the word of God says it's going to be tried with fire. And your works are going to be burned up. And there is, beyond your salvation, there are rewards to be had in heaven. That's what Paul just told you. He said, if you build gold, silver, precious stones on the foundation, there'll be a reward there. And if you get on the other side and everything you've done burns up because you knew more about gaming than you knew about evangelism, you know more about sports than you knew about the kingdom of God, you know more about shopping than you knew about what God loves, and so and so and so. If you know more about the carnal things and the natural things, whatever you're building is going to be burned up. You can't take any of this with you, but there are some things you're going to stand in the presence of God, and those things are going to last. I mean, your children, your home, your family, those that you've witnessed to, your Bible studies, those that you've won to the kingdom of God, those precious children you've taught in Sunday school, those that you've worked with on the youth team, those that you've prayed for in the altar, and on and on and on. There are some things that you can take into the presence of God, and no heat will ever burn those up. They'll be refined by the fire, and you'll stand before God, and you'll hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Is there anybody here that wants to hear that said in the presence of God? Do you want to have everything you've done burned up and have him say, "Take him, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of..." No, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that. So with this first reading tonight, you've got a church full of people that are settling for less than God has for them. And they're eating milk. They're drinking milk, but Paul's got some meat for them. And I want you to understand that it's wonderful that we can bring people along slowly. Brand new converts and Bible study students and little children and people that never knew anything about living for God. We bring you along slowly. We don't dump everything on you at the first 5 minutes we talk to you. Because we want you to grow, and we want everything to be in its right place. And we believe in spiritual priorities, and we want you to have a relationship with God and a relationship with the church. And you'll get on board with the rest of it as we go. Everybody say amen. We don't give them everything the first day. Don't you dare take a new convert on the side and start telling them all about their lifestyle and what they wear and where they go. You don't do that. You leave that alone. If it's your Bible study, you do that to the peril of the study and the student. You better follow along with God's plan. God builds it a long, long time before he ever. If you'll just take the Lord's Prayer as a model for your prayer and for the way you deal with people, you need to understand he's far more excited about relationships than he is about dealing with your sin. No, we're going to deal with sin. Sin is important. Sin will kill you. But you can't do anything about your sin until you love God and you love the people of God. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time building bridge work and making relationships and getting to the place where we can eat the meat and not the milk. And so Paul says, you're just on a milk diet now. I've got to give you something else, but you can't tolerate it yet. You don't want to live like that in the kingdom of God. The good stuff in living for God is out there on the edge where you're eating the meat. The good stuff in living for God is when you're living for God with all of your heart, and you're applying yourself, and you're doing this thing with a full heart, and you're totally committed to the things of God. The most miserable people in the whole world are folks that are trying to live for God, and they've got a foot in the world and a foot in the church, and they never have made up their mind. They're still romancing the memories of the past. They're still looking for an exit on the highway of God. But you've got to button all that up, burn the bridge, burn the ships, whatever conveyance you took into the kingdom of God. You need to set fire in it. You need to set fire to it tonight in your mind and in your spirit and say, "I'm never going back. The door to Egypt is closed. The bridge that I came across, I've burned it down. I don't know what God has for me, but I'm never going back where I was." Well, praise God. And so in that first portion of scripture. He's talking to people that are living beneath their privilege and living in unfulfilled potential and living in unreached heights and untapped depths, and they don't know the limits of what God. When Paul talks about it, he talks about the height and the breadth and the depth of the kingdom of God and what God can be. And he said, I want you to be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to have everything that God has. You don't want to have a in-house Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, pat your hands, and then it's greet the people and then go live a life in the world, and your garden is more important to you than a prayer life, and your work is more important to you than a soul, and all the things that are on the outside are more important to you than the Word of God. That's not what's going to get you into a place where the Bible talks about peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable and full of glory. No, you got to get into this with both feet. You've got to bring it all, heart, mind, soul, and strength, into the relationship before you get into the good stuff. You won't get there without tapping an area of risk in your life. You won't get there without embracing the challenge. The second group, rather the second portion of the teaching, he just says, here it is for you. You're going to do something here with the kingdom of God. You're going to build junk on it, or you're going to build something lasting. You're going to build something that has no substance and no strength at all, wood, hay, and stubble. Or you're going to build something that God will look at. Fire can't destroy it. God will look at it and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Anybody want to build something good for God? I'm glad half of you do. Anybody want to build something lasting for God? Anybody want to hear him say, well done? My God, anybody want to step out into the adventure of really living for God and see what is going to... I believe you can have an apostolic church in 2012. I believe you can have an apostolic experience in 2012. I believe everything the book said, that there's still miracles, there's still healings, there's still deliverance, there's still power in the name of Jesus. Anybody believe that tonight? Well, praise God. Praise God. And so for a moment here, I want you to know that when David said, taste and see that the Lord is good, he was encouraging you to come and see if you've been on the outside and you don't know. But he doesn't want you 10 years into it to say, well, David just said all you need is a taste. He doesn't want you to come in and just say, well, I've had a little taste and that's all I want. That's a discussion of how you come in to the kingdom of God. But it's not a discussion of how you stay and are strengthened in the kingdom of God. It's going to take more than a taste. You're going to have to be like the Jews and the Passover lamb. You're going to have to eat it, head, legs, and the pertinence thereof. You got to eat everything God throws at you. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, I feel a mandate from the Holy Ghost in this sparsely attended service tonight. I feel a mandate from God in this house to tell you that God's got something for you that is beyond your understanding or your comprehension. All you've got to do is step out into a place and embrace what God has promised. Ah, praise God. Praise God. There's a lot of nonsense, a lot of nonsense in Pentecost. There's songs like, this old house that I've been living in is needing repair. Shutters and the windows, they're letting in the cold, cold air. And he goes on to say, I've been thinking about fixing it up, but all I've got is leaving on my mind. I'm living in squalor because I got leaving on my mind. I'm not worried about a job because I've got leaving on my mind. I'm not going to get an education because all I got is leaving on my mind. And it's a song about apostolic mediocrity, and I think those don't go together at all. If it's mediocrity, it's not apostolic. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, God wants you to get in here with both feet. He wants you to eat the fat and drink the sweet and get in up to your eyeballs and have what God has for you. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is not a doctrine or an experience that's hung up in getting out of here. Everything you read about the kingdom of God has to do with work. You go to the parables and it's about working in his field, working in his vineyard, working in the harvest in a net, taking in a harvest of fish from the sea. I'll make you fishers of men. Everything I see about this kingdom experience has to do with work. It's a dirty four-letter word to some folks. But I'm telling you, if you want to serve God and please God and know God and embrace what God has for you, you can't leave anything on the table. You can't leave anything. You don't want to get over there and having left the better part of your life unchallenged. Well, praise God. Want to pour it all out here. I used to talk to Windross. He's an apostle to Guatemala and an apostle to El Salvador and an apostle now to Mexico City. And the man has tens of thousands of people that are living for God directly from his ministry and hundreds of preachers and hundreds of churches. I used to challenge him about how busy he was and about taking a little time and being careful with his life. And he always just laughs and says, I'd rather burn out than rust out. And I just want you to know the philosophy works well here in America. We want to burn out for God. I'd rather burn out for God than rust out sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what my next blessing's going to be or how God's going to coddle me or who's going to prop up the bottle for me as I have another shot of milk because I've been in it 10 years and I still can't walk on my own. I want you to know God's got a calling and a mandate for your life and you'll never embrace what the riches of the kingdom are until you embrace the mandate of God in your life. Praise God. It takes attitude. When David's talking about his mighty men, this guy is not even attaining to the top three, but he does become the head of David's bodyguard. He's just below. He's a part of the top 30. And he's the kind of guy that he kills two lion-like men of Moab, plucks a spear out of their hand, takes their lives. And then on a snowy day, just in the dead of winter, here's a lion down in a pit. And I don't know if he's with anybody or not, but he just climbs down into the pit with a lion and kills a lion in a pit on a snowy day. It's giving you a short bio of who this guy is. This is the kind of guy he is. He sees a lion in a pit on a snowy day. The weather doesn't bother him. The cold doesn't bother him. The lion doesn't bother him. He said, I've been looking for a fight. I've been looking for some trouble. And he goes down and tears that lion up. I don't know with what or by what means. But I'm telling you, this is going to require an attitude. It's going to require an attitude that says it's not enough that I have a little patty cake prayer life at church, but I'm going to kick out the walls and make myself a prayer place in my home and in my family. I'm going to have a place. If I'm a young person in a school, I'm going to walk in with dominion prayer and lay claim to the place and plead the blood of Jesus on the place. Not satisfied to just have a little touch. Not satisfied to just have a little blessing on a Sunday night. But I want what God has promised. I want a harvest in my peer group. I want a harvest in my generation. Praise God. Anybody knocking doors in your neighborhood? Anybody teaching your neighbors a Bible study? Chances are really good. If you're not doing it, nobody's going to do it. Why don't you kick the walls out of your schedule and make some time for the calling of God? Going to pass by those people 100 times. Go knock on their door. Go give them a card. Go give them a tract. Try to find somebody to win to the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because that's who you are. You're a soul winner. That's what you are. You're a fisherman. That's what your calling is, to work in the harvest of God. That's what working in the vineyard of God is. Praise God. He's not after grapes and he's not after grain. He's after men and women. Praise God. And you're walking in places and living in places nobody else around you is an apostolic. Get after it. Come on. Somebody here, if you don't crank it up here pretty soon, you're going to settle in and calcify in a lifestyle of mediocrity in the spirit, and you're never going to breathe in what God has for you. And you're never going to feel the rush of having walked into the glory cloud of God in the middle of an ordinary day, in the middle of your normal schedule. Heaven's going to come down if you'll open up your heart and your life to God. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. Well, I can't do all that. Well, you may not be able to, but if God's going to judge you by what people do in the kingdom, he's going to judge you by what people do outside. He said, sometimes the children of this world have better sense than my children. In 1838, there was a young man that was a slave. He was born into slavery. If you gentlemen need to fellowship, and it's a lot of fun back there, I can have you sit with your parents. If you want to plug in, plug in. I grabbed some guys down in this altar Sunday night. We're having an altar service. I just grabbed about five of them. I grabbed a couple of them that didn't need to be in there, but I had them anyway, so I just went ahead and grabbed them. And I said, I'm tired of this. People are praying here. We're seeking the kingdom of God. We're seeking revival here. And we're not going to have you back here twittering like a bunch of little girls down in this altar. And one of them, I tried to grab his clothes, but I grabbed some meat with it. So I just brought meat and all over to the meeting. And I said, now you can sit with your mama, or you can get yourself out the door. All right? If we're going to have revival, that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. And I just got to tell you right now, I don't have time nor patience for foolishness here. Now, if your children can't behave themselves, sit with mama, sit with daddy. We're doing everything we can to provide forums for fellowship, but the house of God is a place where we're dead serious about what God's doing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anybody want revival? Anybody want God to have his way? Anybody hungry for more of God? In 1838, the guy's born into slavery. He's a young man, and he makes his break. He breaks out of the master's reach. He breaks away from the southern structure and culture, makes his way up north. You tell me what you can't do because of your circumstance. You tell me what can't happen because of what happened in your childhood, or what you didn't have, or who didn't give you a break, or all of the sad. If you're singing sad stories every day of your life, the battle's almost over for you and you have lost. If you're constantly a sad story about what can't be, what hasn't been, who didn't do this, who did do that, and that's why you are what you are, one thing you've done is you've made a liar out of God, because God is for you, and if he's for you, who can be against you? I want you to understand you're making a liar out of God. Quit singing the old song. And this former slave becomes advisor to five presidents. He starts as an advisor to Abraham Lincoln. He's there when Lincoln reads the Emancipation Proclamation. He will go on and serve the next four administrations. It's an incredible story. But I'm just telling you, you're not going to be able to assuage God's passion for you by telling him some lame story about what happened to you, what you didn't have, what potential you couldn't actualize because your circumstance was so whatever. That's not going to wash with God. You're going to have to rise up in the middle of your, I can't imagine what some folks have gone through, but I want you to know hardness in life tends to temper you. You become more valuable and stronger in the hand of God. You can let it kill you, or you can let it temper you, and you can be a nail in a sure place. It's nothing more frustrating in the world than try to drive a nail that's made somewhere where they don't temper the steel. Goodness gracious. And the Word of God talks about people being a nail in a sure place. God's looking for some young men that can rise up and be a nail in a sure place. I know you had some problems. I know you've had some trouble. I know the whole world didn't come and bow down at your feet. And maybe you've had it worse than some have had it. But you can take that negative experience and you can say, I've been shaped and I've been formed in the fire. And now I can stand and do a work for God. Devil, you never should have touched me. Devil, you never should have done those things to me, because now I'm coming out and I'm coming strong. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, does anybody have an attitude about this tonight? Does anybody have an attitude about living for God, about shaming the devil, about building up the kingdom of God? Our president who led the Rough Riders said, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of the deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who actually does strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he falls, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. He said, at least, if you're going to make a mistake, make it going 100%. If you're going to fail, fail trying. Because if you're not trying, you're failing anyway. Get up and try. Don't listen to those that are going to give you all the reasons why it can't be. My family wasn't in church. My daddy wasn't in church. Somebody dressed me funny. Somebody said bad things about me. Don't worry about that. Fasten your eyes on God above and see what God can make out of you. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Praise God. In the parable of the talents, Lindsay, come on. In the parable of the talents, the only thing I can tell you, I don't know how the man that made five, and I don't know how the guy that made two more, but I can tell you, don't bury it. Don't bury. God has given you something. You are unique. There's nobody like you. Don't bury that. The devil's in your ear. He can get in your mind. He'll touch your heart. He'll send you an emissary from hell. He'll sing you a song that says, don't try. You'll fail. Don't try. It'll be like before. Don't try. It'll be like your mama said you were. It'll be like your daddy said you were. You're worthless. You're useless. You can't make it. You won't ever make it. Don't listen to that. Listen to the Word of God. If God's given you something, God will make something out of it. That story tells me that God has given every one of us unbelievable potential, unbelievable power and access tonight. You've got right where you're standing right now, you've got everything you need. Moses is at a place with rock walls on either side, Pharaoh and the army behind him, a raging sea in the front, and all he has in his hand is a stick. But if all you have in your hand is a stick, you've got everything that you need. What do you have tonight? What do you have tonight? Whatever you have enough if God is in it. You have enough. Oh, I'm preaching right up against a brick wall in somebody's lifetime. I'm telling you, you have enough if God is in it. The devil's a liar. You have enough if God is in it. If you'll give it to God, don't be crying about all I've got's a stick. I don't have privilege. I don't have money. I don't have position. I don't have friends. I don't. That song goes on and on and on forever. You'll be singing it when you draw your last breath. And it will not have absolved you of any responsibility. And it will not have brought you into a close relationship with anything divine. But if you can just shut your mouth and begin to sing a new song. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Don't have a friend, but I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't have money, but I know the one who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I may not have position, but I know the one who sets them up and takes them down. My God, he's got legions of angels. Just that one word out of his mouth, armies were completely annihilated. You've got a friend like that. How can you sing a sad song? Paul said, I've been needing to feed you some meat, but you're still on that bottle and you're still crying for it every day. Get up from where you are. Stand up in the promise and in the power of God. Put the devil to shame and glorify God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When God is talking to Abraham, and this is a principle and strategic truth for us in this church family. Let's stand together. He's talking to Abraham, and he calls him out of his homeland. What's the name of his homeland? Where did he call him from? Ur. How do you spell that? You are. He called him out of you are. He called him out of whatever you are. You got to come out of that. Whatever you are not, you got to come out of that. He called him out of what he was and who he was and everything. Do you think God saved you right up in the middle of all the calamity of this world and that still somehow defines you? He called you out. I don't know what you were, Brother Jamie, but I know what you are beginning to be. He's bringing you out into a brand new experience. Came in this house all lonesome and by yourself, and God gave you a wonderful wife. Amen. You'd have never gotten that in Ur. You got to come out of Ur to get what God's got for you. Praise God. I'll tell you something about your wife. All of life and everybody around her was telling her, you got to leave the truth to go find yourself a man. Young ladies, can I tell you that men are much overrated? And that life in solitude with peace and the power of God can be all you need. But I digress. But he brought her out of that. He brought her out of that, and she stood for God. And you know what? When Brother Jamie came to me, and he was going to do things just like we do them here, biblically, and he began to tell me, there's a lady I'm interested in. I had no clue. I did not know. I had no clue who he was interested in. And I just started going through my Rolodex. I'm so old. He said, it's Sister Maria I'm interested in. And the first thing I thought was, you're a good God. You are a good, look at what God does for faithful people. Look at what God does when you just fall in love with him and kick everything else under. And you just say, I'm going to live for God. Praise. He called him out of Ur. I don't care what you are. Come out of that. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. It doesn't matter to God, because God can do what he wants to do. with anybody. Now, when he gets him into the promised land, there's still a lot of in Abraham. As a matter of fact, he's living in a tent he probably lived in Ur. He's still living in you are. And God's trying to tell him, you're going to have so many kids, they're going to be like the dust of the earth, they're going to be like the stars of the heavens. And Abraham's saying, I just can't get it. I can't understand this. He said, I don't have any kids. I'm almost 100 years old. And God said, come out of this tent, and brings him out underneath his tent. He says, now look at the stars of the heavens. Tell me, can you number them? Tell me, Caitlin, can you number the stars? You know how many, Mariah, you know how many you see with your eye, your natural eye? On a good dark night, about 10,000. All you can see with that eye is about 10,000 stars. You know how many there are in just our galaxy? Hundreds of billions. That's just in our galaxy, named after a candy bar. Now, why God did that, I have no idea. He may like Milky Ways. Do you know how many galaxies there are? There are hundreds of billions of galaxies. I'm already out beyond my capacity. And I don't care how good you are at math. You're not getting a hold of that either. He's showing Abraham something far bigger than his tent, but Abraham can't see as far as God has made and prepared and built and established. You understand what I'm telling you tonight? My God, Joshua, there's more out there than you'll ever embrace. But you're not going to find it here. You're not going to find it in the puny little. People that backslide just mystify me. They say, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to live forever. I don't want the blessings of God. I don't want the strength of God in my life. I want a beer. I don't have words to express how stupid you are. I can't express. And if I told you, you are stupid. Muy estúpido. If I told you that, you're so stupid you can't understand what I'm telling you. It mystifies me. It's like somebody's got a suitcase with $1 million in it for you. And you're saying, nope. I got my nickel. It's my trusty nickel and I love it. Keep your own $1 million. I don't know how to talk to you. I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. Go on with your nickel. If you bring your tent and your nickel and whatever you have, just bring it into the kingdom of God. Let God work. Church, I really do believe God has yet to uncork what he wants to do in this city. But I do know this. He wants to use you to do it. You're going to be such an important cog in the revival wheel that God wants to break forth and pour out in this city. But we need everybody at full potential. We need everybody reaching and expanding and growing. Sister Juanita, this is a terrible question. But how old are you? You're what? You're too short to be 42. And you're going back to school. You're a senior. Why in the world would you go back to school? I mean, your life is... What's life expectancy now? It's almost over. It's almost over. Jesus is coming. Why go back and build yourself and make it? Why indeed Keep growing till he comes. Keep building till he comes. Keep striving till he comes. Keep praying. Keep actualizing till he comes. Keep becoming until he comes. Let's come down around the altar tonight. I want somebody to shake off some things that are telling you that you can't be, you can't do, you can't have, you can't actualize. I want you to come down to this altar and say, God, I want you to give me everything you got. God, I want you to make me everything you can make me. Come on, everybody's praying, everybody's pressing, everybody's moving into the presence of God. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, it doesn't matter what the circumstances have been. Somebody by the hand, lay your hand on somebody. Come on. God will do a work right here in this altar. God will do a work in somebody's life right now. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Come on, somebody give him some praise. Mighty God, we bless you, we praise you, we lift you up. God, you're so very good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to tell somebody by you, I want everything God has for me. Praise God. Sister Tina, could you get your quizzers and come up? All the junior quizzers in the foyer, come. Coming to the platform now are the state champs of Alabama in junior quizzing. Praise God. And I think Jurian's at camp, and Danielle is halfway to the car. We're going to celebrate them properly on Sunday night. But I just think this is worth celebrating numerous times. The weeks and weeks and hours of work that they put into this. We're so glad you could make it. We just wanted to celebrate you and tell you how wonderful you guys are and how proud we are of you taking the district, not in
basketball or football or lacrosse, but in the Word of God. Praise God. They're going to be going to Branson, Missouri, and they're going to spend a week there, a better part of a week, in the national quiz finals. And the Sunday before they leave, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you want, to be a part of their trip and you'd like to support them in some way. I'm going to give you a chance to do that because this is pretty special accomplishment. We're real happy for them. God bless you. Before you leave tonight, shake a hand or two. Tell them God's going to make you mighty in the kingdom of God. Can't wait to see what God's going to do with you. Lord bless you.